There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your setting. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.
Welcome to the C Word, a podcast on Orphan Black Echoes. I'm Steve.
I'm Terry.
And I'm Sean Fangirl S.
And today we're going to be discussing episode 2 of season 1, titled Jules.
Woohoo!
Lucy forces Jules to go to Settlement House, where she enlists Craig's help in a haphazard interrogation. Kira receives an unexpected visit from a family member. And no, it's not Sarah. And billionaire Paul Darrow raises alarm with his team in search for Lucy. So episode 2 of Orphan Black Echoes begins with the young girl, Jules, trying to call 911 and her mother, Neva Lee. Lucy firmly believes that Jules is on the cloning project and kidnaps her when she tries to escape. They end up at Craig's place, and we are shown that one of the residents is a disgruntled ex whom Lucy ghosted when she left the home.
Are we sure this isn't Jessica Jones? I mean,
yes.
Just saying.
Now, Craig advocates for Jules, but does accept that there may be some truth to her being a clone. Jules is not forthcoming when they learn that she was in a car accident which killed her parents and erased her memories. Yeah, that's a little convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Her grandfather is ill, so she has been adopted by the Lees. Lucy tells her about printing clones and tries to prove it by showing her their matching wrist scar. But when she checks Jules' arm for the additive imprint, the young girl doesn't have any such brand. Meanwhile,
why did she check her other arm? Or
yes, exactly.
Yeah, I would have.
Legs, like, just because it was on your arm doesn't mean anything.
Nope.
Check the back of her neck.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Cosima sends Felix to check on Kira, who is stressed out as she wonders if she did something wrong with Lucy. Hello, monkey.
I didn't like his makeup.
Yeah, I thought it was good. The goatee.
Did you really?
And the, yeah.
But I don't
think it, like the way he was talking, it looked like his beard was going to fall off or something.
Yeah.
Like, because like he wasn't opening his mouth.
Yeah.
It was weird, right, Terry? I mean, that's what you started to say, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, he looks good with the beard. Don't get me wrong. But I just thought the hair and the beard and the big, thick glasses and, you know, him trying to talk like he's 104. Trying to talk like his own. I love Felix. It was great. Just when he walked on the screen, I was like, yes. And then I was like, okay. But I loved his hello monkey. That was great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uncle and nephew catch up, and we learn that Felix is a successful artist. Kira has become estranged from Sarah, who runs a charity, and Kira's son, Lucas, is a high school dropout and a devout Quaker. Felix tries to get her to relax by taking her to a club.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Wait a minute. The nephew was a Quaker? I missed that part.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard religious, but I must have missed them to actually say Quaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. It was real quick, but he did. Yeah.
Okay. Went right past me.
Yep.
She tells Lucy, we're made in a printer. I love that line. That poor teenager's just going, what the hell are you talking about, you crazy lady?
Exactly. Because I'm sorry. I don't care what year it is. Somebody comes up to you, kidnaps you, and then she's like, we're the same person. and we were printed. It's like, excuse me?
Yeah, like, but we find out differently later on in the episode.
Still, it's very, I would not believe her. I don't care
right.
what year.
Yes.
I wouldn't either.
Well, that's like the Systras did at first. It was like, no, we're not clones. We just look alike. No.
Right.
Okay, right. That's a little, they looked exactly alike. Well, yeah. And I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird. So we had a lot of just weirdness, basically. You started off with that, and poor Jules, like, I don't blame her at all for being weirded out. But then we get to go to Tom and Emily meeting with Daros. Now, I cannot remember. Was he in the original?
No.
No.
Okay. Was that pyramid symbol in the original?
Not that I'm aware of. You remember any of that symbol?
Because they focused on that so long.
I think that was just for the transition from one scene to the next.
Oh, more dramatic.
I don't remember that symbol. Yeah, Dyad's whole thing was the name Dyad.
Right.
You know, plastered all over the place. So.
I mean, but they were like dropping stuff in. We had Dyad. We had, crap. What was the one that they mentioned in the club with the tails? Primordial.
Oh, yeah.
Like they mentioned that. That's why when they focused on that pyramid just for that little bit longer than you would have expected, I'm like, what is happening?
Well, that was Felix's comment when he and Kara walked into the bar. He said, it's like Neolution, just without the tails.
Thank you.
Right.
I couldn't remember what it was called. And I'm like, damn it, I forgot to write it down.
Oh, that was great.
So when they go meet with Daros and they have to put on like the suits, I'm like, oh, is this going to be some weird, what was his name? The crazy rich dude, which could be a whole bunch of them, but like,
right.
He doesn't want outside germs. I'm like, all right, thinking he's going to be in some weird sterile environment. No, he's outside though. So I'm like, hello.
I thought they were going to be in the bubble room at Willy Wonka, but,
but they're
it's
outside.
Interesting that. It's interesting that we're seeing the big bad this early, whereas we didn't see it till much later in the original OB.
Right.
So, yeah, this was kind of neat.
Yeah, and our always a bad guy, Tom. I don't know what it is with him and those tooth flossers. That was starting to work my nerves again.
Yes.
Like the little things. I'm like, okay, I know whatever was in your tooth, you got it out. Okay, what are you doing? Stop it.
So he practices good dental hygiene, you know.
Over the top. But they go to talk to Daros, and I love it. It's like, oh, he's super rich. Listen to what he's not saying. And Emily's like, oh, you've done so much for me. I'm like, okay, so obviously she got some kind of reprinted organ or something.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
So she feels indebted. But then the whole going back to the germ thing, why the hell is your hair not up in that? Okay, that's not how you wear the suit. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
You're in like a clean room. Put your freaking hair back in it. But again.
Well, Daros didn't say anything, so.
No.
I know. I thought that was kind of strange. But yeah. Did you notice how snippy he was with Tom?
An orchid wouldn't help you, Tom.
Right.
No.
As if like, to say, you know, screw you, buddy.
Which makes me wonder what's going on there.
Well, I tell you the truth, Daros is really getting tired of not being able to find Lucy and keep her under his thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's the only thing?
Oh, shoot, yeah.
Sure.
She's like Ferdinand was that way.
Right. Daros is probably paying Tom, you know, a nice little salary.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tom, you know, had his finger basically on the pulse of where Lucy was. And then she kills one of Tom's guys. He said so in the last episode. And so now Tom's constantly trying to play catch up. Like later in the episode, he said, Jules is home, but we got a good lead on Lucy.
Yeah, he does ask, like, all of a sudden, oh, well, can we use more extreme measures because she has Jules and she killed one of my guys? And I'm thinking, first of all, you were trying to do the extreme measures anyway.
Right.
Right.
And now you're like, oh, yeah, that's the only reason we were thinking about it. I'm like, oh, you're such a bad guy.
He's like Ferdinand with really good dental hygiene.
Yeah.
he thought about it. Then, you know, Darros is like, fine, but keep it off Dr. Manning's radar. So obviously he knows how important Lucy is to Kira. Mm-hmm. Which, again, who the hell is this supposed to be?
You know, on a separate note, I noticed something way in the background. I don't know if you guys saw it. I'm assuming they were windmills, because it did look like a typical windmill like you see with the three blades going around. But if I'm right, they were windmills way off in the distance, and the way they spun was like the DNA helixes.
I did see that, and I was thinking the same thing, Terry.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, this means something. You know this means something.
Yeah, exactly.
Too many of these shows plant those little things more for your subconscious. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, what could it mean?
Maybe Cosima designed them based on the back of her laptop.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, here's a new kind of windmill.
So we get Jack later talking to Tina and confiding in her about what's going on. Didn't tell her the whole thing.
No.
But I'm still like, even though we find out that Jack's, I'm assuming wife, left and just kind of, while he was overseas and was like, yeah, the kid's yours. First of all, wow.
Mm-hmm. What like, a jerk.
Biggest pile of poop there is right there. She's, I don't know what it is about Tina that kind of has me going, something doesn't feel right there either.
It's the eyebrows, right?
It could be. And they're way too done. I don't know.
Hey, I like thick eyebrows. I have thick eyebrows. Don't pick on Tina. Because mine are a lot grayer than hers.
Oh my God. She would have looked so strange.
Yeah.
If they were gray. But when Lucy shows up, I think this is part of it, too. Tina's like, of course there had to be a girl. And I'm like, Again, it's like, I don't like the attitude. Don't. If you're just cool and friends, or are you just one of those girls like, I'm your friend because I want you to love me.
Yeah. So you think she's got, you know, something for Jack, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
That's when she said that line. I knew there had to be a chick. That's exactly what I thought.
Yep. I think that's why she was just like kind of getting under my skin.
Yeah. But the way Lucy got injured was pretty sweet. With
Oh my gosh.
Jules tearing apart that thing. And I mean, and it reminded me of what Lucy did in the first episode with the light switch to under it and reach around and unlock the door.
I was just going to say something like that. So, Oh my gosh. So it's something that's deep down, because obviously, I mean, you're in there, you're trying to be quiet while you're doing everything. You're not going to be like, oh, how can I MacGyver a weapon necessarily? Right. You know, most people aren't looking at the toilet going, what can I do that's small and concealable that can help me get out of this mess?
The tank lid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be it. And then I'd still probably drop it on my toe.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So, yeah, when she shows up, apparently Jack can sew her up. And there was no swearing involved on her part, because I know on my part there would have been. And, oh, great. Does everybody just have sutures in their house? Or is he literally using like sewing thread and needle? What do we think?
He's using sewing thread and needle.
That's
actually
what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
They're both
a medic in the service. So, you know, he knew what to do, but.
He and Tina were both in the service together.
Yep.
But I still don't think she would have sutures and everything in her house either. So, yeah, I'm thinking regular sewing thread.
I'm not thinking that's something most people just kind of have on hand.
No.
I would have loved for him to have like an old time singer sewing machine, you know, and she shoves your shoulder in it.
He's pushing on the old like pedal to get it
yeah,
to
go. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Can you zigzag a little so we can get a better stitch? But anyway.
I want to do a nice pattern here.
So apparently this all happened in a very short period of time, because Jules goes home like, okay, I'm back. It's all good. And I know we're supposed to be getting like security camera view, but it kind of gave me a weird vibe there too.
Yeah.
Like who else is watching?
Right.
So she talks to James, her stepdad, and she thinks she throws him off like, oh, yeah, I ditched school because I went and was reading at the bookstore. Here, I brought you kombucha. It's like, okay, because apparently he's an artist and super creative. So I feel like that's going to come back with whatever Felix is doing because he's opening an art show.
Mm-hmm. Good. If they meet, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I'm feeling like we got a thread there.
What did he say that she when he got the news, he interrupted his creative flow? Or it wasn't workflow. It was something flow.
I thought it was something like creative. I didn't write it down.
It was like creative flow, but it was like a brain flow or something or other. Yeah, and I was like, oh, you are an artist.
Brain flow instead of a brain fart. Yeah, that probably works better.
Yeah, I'm good at the latter of those two.
Yeah, same. And she talks to her stepbrother, Wes, who apparently, I'm just saying high tech, he's talking to the mirror, which you see the little likes and hearts coming up. So apparently you can live stream in the future full mirror, which certain industries, I'm just saying, that would probably be beneficial.
I thought with all those circles, unless they were supposed to be apps, it was like Facebook with a full mirror to it. It was just weird.
Yeah, kind of like TikTok or it's a TikTok like of the future.
I kind of got it was like little icons for people's faces, you know, for their profile pics or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And apparently he is a comedian and he's going to have a little stand up, which, again, feels like something's going to be coming from that. And then we have Neva Lee, who is the stepmom, who, I mean, I don't know. Apparently, it was easier to just call her mom and the stepdad, James.
Yeah, but James and Lucy did not get along.
Yeah, they didn't mesh it at all.
And he
was talking about it later. And I'm like, oh, my God, even in the future, nobody realizes kids can frickin' hear you.
You mean James and Jules?
Oh yeah.
I was like, James and Lucy haven't met yet. So
Lucy Jr. But I love when Wes is like, oh my God, wait, what happened? Cause she was telling him exactly what happened. And he's like, yeah, cool. And I'm like, oh my God, is this kind of relationship? And then all of a sudden it was like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. Wes is pretty cool. I hope we see more of him. He's pretty funny.
But when we see, oh, shouldn't we call the cops? You know what I do here? Because she goes into her bathroom and I'm thinking, damn, that's a nice bathroom, first of all.
A chip and, off the old Sarah Block.
Right?
Yeah.
Opens it up and yeah, all the drugs are like, what the hell? You're not even like trying to hide this. It's in a drawer. It's not like it was a locked drawer. What the hell? Like, nobody looks at their kids' stuff? I'm not saying go through all your kids' stuff, but like, she's freaking selling and it looked pretty hardcore. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting. Yeah. And interesting. You guys said, you know, chip off of Sarah's block because it just makes me think, is it supposed to be Sarah? But I feel like we seen what young Sarah looked like. So I don't know. It's very strange and it's going to like, I feel like we already have an answer. But it's kind of buried and I can't find it.
So you have questions.
I always have questions.
I think that's a t-shirt you should get made up. I always have questions.
And you can just wear, so Sean has questions, sure.
Yeah. You know where you know where they have those signs that I'm with stupid and the arrow we'll get the arrow on there and pointing towards you and it says she has questions.
Hold on, let me open up this giant book, like this giant, like, tome. It's like 5,000 pages. Yeah. Hold on, like, this one here.
Yeah, and throw it at me, right. So, we're going to do just a little bit of backtracking. We mentioned Felix and Kira go to the bar. Did they ever even take any sip of the tea? I mean, they were in their office very short period of time. And so they go
not
to
that
the
we've seen, no.
Yeah. And Kira shows her innate skill on scoping out blow. Do you have cocaine?
Yeah, I love that. Would make Sarah mad, but
oh yeah,
like Kara handled that situation.
Yeah, have I not taught you anything? No. So I love Felix pulls her away from the guy, and it's like she was raised in the country.
Yeah.
That would have me rolling.
Felix one-liners, yeah.
Yeah, they're back.
So he takes care of acquiring some, which Kira quickly says gross, and he holds up the little bag, anything for science.
Yeah.
And then up shows Lucas, just as he's handing the little bag of cocaine to Kira. And it's like, whoops. I love the look on her face. It was just like the eyes were like, whoa.
Yeah.
And so they talk for a while, and then she leaves, has to take a phone call. And Felix and Lucas talk a little bit. What's wrong? And Lucas says, I'm not sure. Something's going up or going on. And he says, well, I'll get it out of her. And but he can tell, obviously, you know, I'm sure because of Cosima's phone call.
Right.
And just the way that she's acting, and she's trying to tell Felix in the office, the cocaine's not for me.
Yeah, right. We're trying to stimulate some old memories.
And, yeah, the neurons.
Trying to figure out who the heck Lucas was. Like,
that's Kira's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like from other stuff, I'm like, did they somehow have him in Orphan Black? And like, it's not supposed to be him. But it turns out this guy's been in our other sci-fi shows. He's been in The Expanse and Killjoys. So that's why I know him. He was not in the original Orphan Black as a background player and just happened to be now, you know, front and center. So.
And then they eventually, and they eventually make their way. The scene ends. They come back to Kira's office. And I thought this was a really sweet moment where she's really down on herself and unsure of herself. I try to be a good person, a good mom. And, you know, Felix tries to comfort her by saying all those the ghastly printed organs or whatever his adjective was, how many lives you saved. And then he caps it off by saying S would be proud of you or be so proud. And she just starts tearing up. I thought that was a great line because, you know, he's right.
Yep.
So another earlier scene was Lucy taking Jack to the now empty warehouse, the old Capricorn One movie set, and shows him where he was made, and she fills him in a little bit, and says, you know, I was made here, and I guess they've all left. She says she's been in there a dozen times. Obsessed much? And then she tells him everything that she's done. She did it for him and Charlie. Because you're the only things that matter. Do you believe me now? And I'd be like, hell no. Oh, is this the scene where he's... No, it was later. He says, that's too crazy to make up. So that was nice that she gave him a little more. Comes out in drips and drabs. And then we later see her that she's going to go scamper off again. And trying to get some information from this Neva Lee, who apparently she, you know, Jules told her that that was her mom, I guess. Didn't she say that was her mom?
She did when she grabbed the phone.
When they were in the
truck? She was calling 911. Yeah.
Unless 911 goes right to Neva's number.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting hookup. So she gets into the building after she's scanned as Jules Lee.
Whoa, what?
Now, that's creepy.
Now, that's creepy. It's mentioned, too. So I'm like, all right, now does Jules realize that maybe it wasn't so far-fetched?
I think that she probably, when her mom was telling her in the bedroom, oh, you just showed up at my office building. I think she was probably thinking, oh, crap, that crazy woman's breaking in. I don't think that she went as far in her mind as saying, oh, maybe this is real.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought of that. But I mean... If it's all this auto scan stuff, like that's
see, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I was thinking. It's odd that it scans Lucy. And I mean, some, you know, as we get a little older, I mean, some of our facial features change. I thought that was odd that it scanned her as Jules.
Maybe it's more of a DNA scan than, like, I don't know.
Seemed like it. Didn't they do the whole body thing on that screen?
Yeah, that's why I'm that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that just till just now. It just popped in my head. They did the whole body picture on the screen. It wasn't just facial. Oh, he says. So anyway, she gets upstairs, gets into Neva's office, unlocked door. Neva, really? Goes in there, looks around, sees this picture of the family. What she's figuring is Neva, and I guess she's figuring her husband, some other kid, and Jules with much shorter hair.
Or Lucy.
Looking absolutely miserable, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody else is like, wee-hee. She's like, yeah, great. And then there's the wording on the side of the building, and she takes the picture out of the frame, and it's the name of a hospital. So now she has another lead that she can follow. And while she's in the office, you know, the security guard comes upstairs to look around. And boy, when that music was building up and he takes that step into the office, you know, he's leaning in with the flashlight. He's like, oh, crap. And he's like, it's all clear.
I love the I'm missing the Pats game for this crap.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, even in the future, we know how everybody feels about the sport.
Boston loves their teams, man. I'm telling you. Boston loves their teams. They really do. And so that's the end of that. She makes her way in and gets out, and that's that. And then we wrap up the episode with Jules, obviously still upset, wouldn't you be, calling her grandpa, you know, just to hear his voice. And then she asks him about her scar. Obviously, it's cropped up in her mind again because Lucy showed her her scar, and they were the exact same. You know, and Jules, when she shows her that, Jules, like, the eyes get real big, like, whoa, you know. And so he tells her that she was riding a bike, realized he wasn't holding on to her, and went down on the ground.
Like I've done that. We all do.
So he tells her she fell, cut her arm, even down to the detail of you were, you know, really upset even when I put the Minnie Mouse Band-Aid on it. And so that kind of comforts her, and she thanks him. And Grandpa ain't Grandpa.
Oh, my gosh, that reveal.
That flipped me out.
I was like, what? Like, jaw just popped open. Because I know it was a lot of it's a lie, but I was not expecting that.
Yep. So this is similar to what Dyad did of giving their clones, particularly the caster ones, I would say, probably with the more militarized part of it, their life stories and kind of laid out the whole scenario behind them. This guy playing a grandpa. She was adopted by a family because she has no memories. You know, the everything's now coming into place. So, yeah, they're definitely creating the scenario. And now the walls have begun to crack. For us, anyway. So.
And I feel like this is such an accelerated timeline compared to the original Orphan Black.
Yes. I had said, look, for our first episode, I said it had action in it, but it just seemed a little slow, and so did the original Orphan Black in the beginning. This, I thought the pace was picked way up, and I really loved it.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we have some feedback this week.
Woohoo!
Our friend Fred from the Netherlands was able to get us some feedback before going in for a procedure. And we hope you're doing well, Fred.
Yeah.
So let's hear what he had to say.
Hello, Steve, Terry, Sean, and Kim, and all listeners to the C-Word / the Fangirl Zone. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Orphan Black Echoes Season 1, Episode 2. Fortunately, I could see the episode a little early, because when I would have to watch it on Sunday, the day that it's broadcasted in America, it wouldn't have been possible for me to give feedback, because then I'm admitted to hospital for some heart procedure. I have some rhythm problems, and I have to get a heart catheterization and an ablation for atrial fibrillation, or otherwise called AFib. I assume next week's feedback won't be a problem and I will be back home. Okay, about episode 2. Great that there is a connection to the original Orphan Black series and Felix just walks in here. It's just a pity that aging him didn't work out that well. Perhaps it's partly because it's opposite of the actress that plays Kira, who is 13 years older than Jordan Gavaris, who plays Felix. I don't want to be too critical, but I also think that Jordan Gavaris' acting was a bit off. Or I should actually say, over the top. Best quote of the episode is, of course, when Craig says, "I don't know if you are her, but you certainly share her charm." We don't know, of course, whether Jules is a copy of Lucy, printouts of the same original. But if that's so, I think they did a nice job in typecasting. I think Amanda Fix and Kirsten Ritter really have some similarities. And this is, by the way, a nice reference to the original series as well, because three seasons of that series, we were looking for who is the original. Well, the same question, in another way, is playing here. The club that Felix and Kira are visiting, of course, gives us a déjà vu of Club Neolution from the original series, with the same amount of freaks running around. I don't like that James, the adoptive father of Jules, but of course that's supposed to, that we don't like him. "She will never call me dad." Really, what the heck? If you're an adoptive parent and you want to take care of a child, what does it matter how you're called? Just James? Just the guy who takes care of me? That's enough. "I will never see her as my child." No, okay, no problem. Just see her as another human being you're taking care of and helping. Really annoying, but okay. In that sense, the makers created the right character here. It's so great that Trevor Yule also made the music for Orphan Black Echoes, and not only for the original series. And the way of tension build up, for instance, when Lucy is breaking in or getting into the building of Neva Lee, Jules' adoptive mother. It's so great to get the same feeling of tension as in Orphan Black. I'm just waiting for a piece of Helena music. And you really notice the way of filming by John Fawcett. It's really Orphan Black-like in pace, in tone, etc. Just one little nitpick. On one side, Keeley Hawes knows how to handle a rat, how to grab it, but doesn't know how to inject it. Or actually, you really can see that the syringe is behind the rat instead of in the belly, because normally you put it right in the belly, such an injection. Okay, that will be all. Greetings. All the best. Fred from the Netherlands.
All right.
Thank you very much, Fred, for that wonderful feedback.
He actually talked about the episode. All right.
Yes, I'm glad he did.
For any of our new listeners, because we have some who came over from, you know, Kim and I, Fred is actually a scientist. So
yes.
That's why some of what he says, you know, some people are probably like, what is he? What? No, he is actually a scientist. And can I just say the way he was so cool and like blasé about, "Oh, yeah, I'm getting this heart procedure." It's like,
AFib. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm feeling that maybe the medical in the Netherlands may be way better than here. And that's why he's not freaked out. I'm just throwing that one out there.
Yeah, I'm getting heart surgery and I have an ablation. I'd be like, what?
Right, right. I would not be this cool. I wasn't this cool when I had to go in for my eye surgery. I was a freaking wreck. So, yeah, he's just like, it's fine. But thanks for the sound effects, too. I think I needed that today.
Yeah, needed to hear Kira's theme real quick.
Yes. We know that music,
And but thanks for same thing that you said, Terry, with the music, exactly what you said.
And that same scene is the one I was thinking of. You know, I mentioned, you know, the music builds up and the guard steps in. And it's nice of Fred to mention Trevor Yule's back doing the score for the show. Makes it all obviously feel like original OB. So great work. And at least he agrees with me about Felix's makeup.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
It's the beard. It was like, did they put too much glue on? What? What was it?
Not enough.
I don't know.
I did not realize the age difference, though, in reality between those two. It's like, okay, that could be the other part that just makes it feel kind of like this is off.
I don't know. I think they were just trying to overdo it to convey that, you know, Felix is, you know, a few decades older now. You know, and obviously that in the storyline, Felix is older than Kira, but the actors are reversed, like Fred said. So, but I mean, it was just great having Felix and his one-liners. I love how Fred mentions Craig's one-liner, you know, you have the same charm.
Yeah.
That was great. So thanks, Fred. That was great.
Yep. Hope everything went well with your surgery and you're back home and recovering.
Yep. Yep. 100%.
Thanks, Fred. Can't wait to hear you again so that we know you are all good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, if you have comments and feedback and questions, you know, because I got a bunch of questions, I always do, you can send us things over to, there's several ways. You could go to www.fangirlzone.com, check out our contacts page and all the ways to get a hold of us. You can send something to contactus@fangirlzone.com, or steve@fangirlzone.com, or terry@fangirlzone.com, because they will answer and they read their email, and I am horrible at it, so it's better if one of them actually gets it than me.
Sean's really antisocial, but she won't admit it.
You look at her Facebook page, you'll see that, no, she's not antisocial.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
I'm somewhat social, I'll put it that way. We want to know what you caught, because there are all sorts of things happening that we probably didn't see. And if you know anything about that pyramid, because I feel like that makes it's a big thing. If you know something about it, share your thoughts. So for this episode of The C Word,
I'm Steve. You're Lucy. I know who you are.
I'm Terry. I just drank a lot of Coke and I have to go to the bathroom.
And I'm Sean Fangirl S. And until next time,